Okay, a lighter crowd today, but it's not proportionate with the right. But it's not proportionate with the amount of preparation for this year. This was a very difficult year to prepare. It's interesting because if you look at source number one, it's just one source. We just want to get through one Maharal, but the concept is an important one, and it's an introductory or a general overview of something we're going to deal with, I guess, in different ways over the course of the next bunch of weeks, because it's the concept of Karbanos. The Maharal has a conception of the idea of Karbanos, the message of Karbanos, the meaning of Karbanos, how Karbanos work. I don't know if you want to describe in any of those ways. So the Maharal in Gruas Hashem Perek Samach Tes is what we're going to focus on. But you'll see interspersed are different areas where the Maharal talks about this idea, rehashes this idea over and over again in different ways. A lot of the Mar Makomos here obviously come from Rabbi Hartman, as always. But here in particular, he was very helpful in the footnotes to Gruas Hashem. So let's start from the beginning of the 69th Perek of Gruas Hashem. Here the Maharal writes, and we're going to read inside. Kimosha dveikus ha'ila b'mishu alul mimenu. So ila means the cause of something, and alul means the thing which is caused. So there's God, which is the first cause of everything, and there's the alul, which is that which is caused, meaning creation, things which are created by God. So kimosha dveikus ha'ila b'mishu alul menu. We'll get into this concept in a second. But that which is created has a special relationship, a special connection, a special clinging to the Creator. The cause is specifically and especially connected to His creation. L'kach nasan Hashem shechinaso b'neihem. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is so connected to His creation, so connected to Klal Yisrael, who's Bishvil Reishis Nivra Olam, the world was created for that cause. Klal Yisrael are, in another sense, the cause of the world, right? Meaning they're the reason the world exists, because they're the first cause, the first thing that is caused by the cause of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, I want to rest my Shechina b'neihem. I want to have a relationship with them. I want to have a dveikus, to cling with them, as we said before. Ukimochein ro'i el ha'olul shiepona el ilaso. Therefore, in kind, right, as it's almost like a reciprocity over here, the obvious follow-up is that the olul, the one which is caused, should want to cling to the ilah, should want to cling to the one who caused him. We're going to get into these concepts, don't worry, but that's the first sentence here in the Maharal. Lekach achar shetziva Hashem. Therefore, that's the hemshech ha-parshios over here. That's why the flow of the parshios is as it is from the end of Shmos into Vayikra. L'kach achar shetziva Hashem ba'asiyas ha-mishkan u'lios shechinaso b'neihem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spent the last parshios teaching us about the building of the Mishkan, which is basically for the goal of hashras ha-shechina, to have a relationship with us, to put HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our life. Right after that, on the heels of that, tziva Hashem yizbarach ba'akravas ha-karban. Therefore, Hashem immediately commands us in the midst of akravas ha-karbanos, bringing sacrifices, she'akrivu lefanav la'avod avodasu yizbarech, so that we should do the avoda, the service of God, uveze yifne ha'alul el ha'ila. Meaning, just like we said, the ila, the cause, always has a special relationship with the caused, so too the caused should look for a relationship with the cause, the creation with the Creator. That's why Hashem says, I'm bringing myself to you through the Beis HaMikdash, through the Mishkan, and you in response will bring Karbanos, which brings you closer to me. I make my relationship with you, says Hashem. Now you turn back and make the relationship back with me, Alul, Ila to Alul, and then Alul to Ila. That's the basic first idea in the Maharal. Now this concept, we're not going to spend time on this so much, but if you look in the indented first part here in the smaller font, in the Nesiva Nava, Perek Aleph, so the Maharal here makes the comment that you should know that there's specifically a closer relationship between someone who is caused and the causer, the created and the creator, even more than someone who is a creator himself. And he's here in the concept of, again, it's the Nesiv Ha'anava, which is about modesty. So the concept, we've actually spoken about this in some degree before, but basically what he explains is that you would think that the bigger you are, the more Hashem sees you. The taller you are, the broader you are, the wider you are, the more powerful you are, so the more someone sees you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator, he's the cause, which means what he sees more is the thing which is most connected to him. Something which is caused, which is modest, which feels like it's just a creation, which feels like it's not a creator on its own, which feels humble and small, is ironically more visible to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than someone who's a Baal Gaiva, someone who's big, someone who's his own thing. The less you are, the more you're seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the more created you are, the more you are caused by Hashem, the more He's your cause, the more He's your creator, the more you have that relationship, that connection to Him, the more He relates to you. So that's what this first opening paragraph in the Maharal is getting at over here, is that the Ila always sees and has a special relationship with the Alul, the cause always has a special relationship with the caused, and so there's always this connection between that which is directly benefiting from God, directly created by God, and directly dependent on and taluy in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, the cause and the caused. That's the opening part of the Maharal over here. This is not the rest of the Maharal we're going to talk about, but that's the beginning. The concept that we need to hold on to right now is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator, is the cause, and everything else is caused, is created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we're all dependent on him, and everything exists only within HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a famous, obvious concept to us in terms of Emunah, but it's a concept the Maharal is now going to expand on. If you look in the next paragraph, as it comes back to the, not indented anymore, but in the underline, V'kasher ata rotze lamed al ikar karbon. When you want to understand the main concept, the idea of the karbonos, of sacrifices, ain't in a karbon rak, the only the idea of a karbon, rak davar zeh, ki kasher ha'olul nimtza min ha'ila yizbarach kein shav el ilaso. When a person realizes, when the created thing realizes that it is created by Hashem, that Hashem is the cause of everything, it returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It returns itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning when a person realizes that he owes everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he exists only by the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he exists only through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he starts to come back and become part of and become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we mentioned a moment ago. Ulefikach, hakrovas hakarbon, bringing a sacrifice, elav yisbarach, to Hashem, lefishu yisbarach ilas hakol ve'elav yashav hakol. The symbolism of bringing a carbon to Hashem is saying everything belongs to you. Everything is to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is yours. It's the recognition, the ultimate recognition, that everything is created by the Creator, that I am just a caused entity. I am not the cause of anything. So we bring things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, return them to him, so to speak, because we're showing that everything really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything only exists through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Karbanos are our way of expressing that, of recognizing that, and of sharing that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that concept that everything really belongs to you, the Ribono Shel Olam. And the next underline, V'nikra HaKarban Isha Lachmi. So throughout in our parsha also, but throughout Chumash, the Karbanos are referred to as Ish, as fire, but also as Lechem, as bread. So the Maharal here says, what does it mean, bread? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not eating, the Mizbeach doesn't have an Achila. There's no literal sustenance over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs or desires from us. So why is the carbon referred to as bread, as lechem? The Netziv has comments about this in Parshas Pinchas and elsewhere, which are very interesting, but they're not related to the Maharal over here. The Maharal says, lechem, the way that bread works, is that a person is incomplete unless they're sustained. A person is missing part of him. And the way he describes it biologically is that, biologically in a Torah sense, is that when a person eats bread, eats food, lechem just means, you know, food, sustenance in general, when a person eats their food, the food is broken down by the body, and then it's put into the bloodstream. And the blood supports the body, the blood keeps the body alive. That is true on some level scientifically, it's not the whole story, but the food is broken down and put into the bloodstream, and the blood keeps him alive. The way you should look at it basically is that a person is missing part of his body, because he needs the sustenance, the protein, the bread, all the different things that the nutrients that the food provides, he needs those to be broken down and put into his bloodstream so that his body can work properly. So there's a chisaron, there's something missing from the person until he puts the sustenance, the food, into his system, then the system works completely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not missing anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not missing anything. But from our side, when we give karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are basically saying that all of this really belongs in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. The same way the bread belongs in your body in order to be fuller and more healthy and a functioning person, so too everything in this world belongs with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He, from his side, he's not missing anything. From our side, what we're displaying is that unless everything is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if it's missing because there's nothing that exists separately. These things belong together. These things need to be combined. These things need to merge and come together like the food goes into the bloodstream, so too the karbanos need to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, and therefore our karbanos express that idea of giving it back to Hashem and saying nothing exists outside of him at all. You look in the indented part over here, and then in Siv HaAvoda, so he says the same idea, just in different words. HaAvoda more ki hu yisbarich echad v'hakol shelo v'zeh more al hashlamaso. When we bring karbanos, we're saying that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. He has ultimate achdus, ultimate unity, meaning he's the ultimate singular, independent, and totally separate from everything else that exists. Nothing else exists besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We show that by giving the karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, he says, is very fascinating. I thought this was a beautiful idea. In the next bold part here in the indent, that the Mishnah in the beginning of Masechus Avo says, Kol ha'olam omed al ha'avoda, meaning the three things the world stands on, one of them is the avoda. So what does avoda, which is karbanos, and also tefillah, which are related to the concept we're talking about, what does avoda have to do with keeping the world alive? It's very simple. When we bring karbanos, we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you are the world. Everything only exists through you, because of you, and within you. And if we don't bring karbanos, we don't recognize that message, then the world ceases to exist. The world ceases to exist because only a world only exists in as much as it's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So through karbanos, we say, hey, everything's you. Everything's from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the world can continue to exist. And the world stands on avoda. The world exists on avoda. But if we don't have avoda, if we don't have karbanos, if we don't have tefillah, where we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything, created everything, and everything belongs to him and within him, then the world simply can't exist anymore. So the world stands on avoda in a very literal sense, that the world can't exist without that recognition that everything belongs to and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now in the next lines, the Maharal says, even though it's true that in the case of a karbanos, I don't offer myself. I don't put myself on the Mizbeach. But you look here in this smaller paragraph, the second to last non-indented lines. So the Maharal says, but when a person offers their money, their mammon, their kinyanim, their acquisitions in this world, that's a form of offering themselves. This is an idea that appears across the Maharal in general, that there are different parts of a person, the nefesh, the neshama, the seichel, and the guf, right? These are different parts of a person. One of the parts of a person is actually mammon. His money is a part of him, kinyanim, the things we acquire become part of us in a very real way. The Maharal relates to that in a very serious way. So that is one concept that's going on over here, that the more I give over my mammon, my property, my animal, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a karban, that's a little bit giving of myself as well. So I'm returning everything, including myself, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the process of karbanos. In an indented part in the Siva Avoda, he says a different idea a little bit, where he says that basically, when a person gives their mammonis, gives their kinyanim to Hashem, they're saying, I'm your eved. Meaning the definition of an eved is, first of all, doing services, but even more so, it's being owned by the master. When a person gives over their property to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, it's not mine, it's yours. This carbon really belongs to you, or this animal really belongs to you, my riches are really yours. They are saying, I'm your eved. And that's why karbanos are referred to as avoda, service, because the ultimate form of avoda is to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only that I'm doing acts of service for you, but that I do belong to you. I'm your kinyan, I'm your mammonis, and I'll show you that by giving you all of my stuff. All of my stuff really belongs to you because I belong to you. Again, this concept, the Maharal is drilling into us, that the karbanos, the idea of the karbanos, is that we're returning everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything belongs to him, everything was created by him, everything only exists within and because and through him, and karbanos are that shivas ha'olul el ha'ila. That return of the caused to the cause through giving of our mammonis, which is really giving of ourselves, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Maharal adds in the second to last paragraph before the end of the page, the non-indented part in the bold, lefikach, this is something the Gemara Menachos points out, I believe it's Daf Kuf Yud, but we'll have to double check that. The Ramban mentions it a lot in our Parsha. Lefikach kol inina karbanos lehoros, ki Hashem yizbarach yachid ba'olam ve'efiz laso. So the whole idea of karbanos is to show that only Hashem exists, nothing else exists in the entire world, right? Everything belongs to and exists within Hashem. In the underline, ulekach lo timtza bekola karbanos, lo kel ve'lo alkecha, rak shema miyuchad. You'll notice that throughout the parshios of karbanos, this again, the Gemara Menachos points this out, the Ramban has an essay about this, but throughout the parshios of karbanos, the word, the name of God, which is used to refer to God, is never Kael or Elokim. It's always Yudke Vavke, the Shema Mefurish, the Shema Miyuchad. Why Dafka, the Shema Miyuchad? Why Yudke Vavke, Havaya? Why specifically that name? Ki HaKarbanos Kemo Shehem Lahoros Alachduso, Shekola Nimtzam Madregas Romamuso Ma'alaso, Nechashavim LaEfes, Ve'hakol Shav Elov, She'en Dover Nimtzes Zulas Mechaste Hashem. The name Yudke Vavke apparently says the Maharal, we've discussed this in the past, Parsha Shmos, I think we discussed this, the name Yudke Vavke references that only Hashem exists. It references Ein Od Milvado. It refers to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the not only cause, but the sole existence. He's the only thing that exists in this world. All of existence goes through, runs through, and exists within HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know that? So there are Maharal in many places talks about this, but this is the Maharal that I think we spoke about, the very bottom of page number one, that the word, the name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, without understanding how to pronounce it exactly, it definitely comes from and is referred to as the Shoresh of Havaya, which means existence, right? Hayaho Vaviyeh, exactly, all of time, spanning all of time, existence. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Havaya. He is existence itself, Yudke Vavke. That concept, that Shem Hashem, refers to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything and nothing else exists. That's why by Karbanos you could only use that name. You could only use the name of Yudke Vavke, of Havaya, of existence, because the idea of Karbanos is exactly that. The idea of Karbanos is that everything exists only within and through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we display that, we recognize that, and we express that through giving of Karbanos, which is giving of ourselves, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, returning everything to its source. Returning to everything to Hashem, Kol HaOlam is Omer Al HaAvoda, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only thing in existence, and we have to recognize that in order to recognize our existence and live our existence. In fact, if you flip to page number 2, the Maharal in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, in the first parak, Mishnah Yud Beis, it could be that in the printed edition it's Mishnah Yud Gimel, but on the Bar Ilan edition it's Mishnah Yud Beis. You have to look. But the Maharal here says a beautiful idea. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that Rabbanus is Koveres Ba'aleha, Mekaveres Ba'aleha. I think the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is not as harabanus, that a person should hate their rabanus. So I'm mekayim that. But the Mishnayos, really, when they say rabanus, they don't mean the rabanus the way we talk about it. They mean rulership, leadership in general, governance. So a person should spurn. He shouldn't want to be involved in governing or ruling over people. And in fact, the Gemara Pesachim says that a person who has to be a ruler, has to be a governor, who leads other people, as opposed to being, you know, led and being governed, so such a person is nikberes. He dies young, Rahman al-Salam. It's Mekatzer Yamin. So why is that? What does leadership and rulership have to do with, you know, a person not living a long life? The Maharal says unbelievably here. He says that in order for a person to exist, he has to exist within a Kadosh Baruch Hu, correct? Now, we said earlier, the more a person is mevatel himself, the more a person says, I'm just a cause. I'm just caused, right? I'm just something which was put into existence by Hashem. I'm not my own person. I'm not a gavra. I'm not a big deal. I'm small. I'm tiny. I'm just caused by Hashem. So the closer they are with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which means the more they exist, the more they can be existent within Havaya, Yudke Vavke, the Shem Hashem. The more a person becomes his own person, becomes a leader, stands out from the crowd, becomes a gavarab, becomes a big deal, so the less he is with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which means the less existence he's experiencing, the less Havaya he's connecting to, the less Yudke Vavke that he's linking up with. So if a person's a Baal Srara, he's a controller, he's a Moshel, so then he's not a Makabel. He's not receiving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'ina adam mikuyam, rak bo yisbarech. The less you're connected to Hashem, the less you could exist. And so Rabbanus, the more that a person has control and leadership, the less they can exist, the shorter, Rahman al-Salam, a person's life like that will last, because they're less connected to Havaya, the source of all existence. So again, the idea of Karbanus, again, is to bring us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring the caused back to the cause, through that to recognize and express and link up to existence itself, Havaya, and that's why the Shem Hashem is always used, the Vyuke Vavke, within Karbanos as well. It's interesting to note that the Maharal, in his commentary on Megillas Esther, coming up Purim on Sunday, Megillas Esther, or Chadash, is the commentary of the Maharal on Megillas Esther throughout. It happens to be in the ninth parak in particular, but throughout, the Maharal has a theme that the whole goal of Amalek is to combat this Shem Hashem of Yud Kei Vav Kei, in that they're trying to prove that there's another existence outside of Hashem. Hashem exists, but there's something else that exists as well. There's another entity that exists, and that's constantly their battle against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the Maharal says in the ninth parak beautifully that when we kill the Saras B'nai Haman, so they die all at the exact same time. They're all hung simultaneously. Their breath leaves them exactly the same time. And we read all their names, B'nishim Achas. Why all this oneness? Why all this singularity? So the Maharal says because they're getting back, paid back, Mita Keneged Mita. The Amalek were the ones who were saying there's multiplicity. Multiple things exist in the world. There's no Achdus of Hashem. There are multiple things that exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills them all at the same time. Their breath leaves them at the same time. And we say it over, all in one breath, to show, no, it's all one. There's an Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the battle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against Amalek, Lidor-dor, forever. That's what the Pasuk says, Ki Yad Al Kes Ka, that the Shem Hashem is not complete until Amalek is destroyed. What do you mean the Shem Hashem is not complete? Meaning this, the Shem Hashem of Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which proves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus is the only thing, Einol Mevado, nothing else exists. That's the battle of Amalek against Hashem. Until we defeat Amalek, that won't be fully recognized in this world. But once Amalek is gone, we'll recognize Yud Kei and Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei together, the Shem Havaya of all of existence, the Achdus, the singularity, the unique singularity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence against what Amalek want to explain. Okay, Ulefikach, the Maharal then says in page number 2, the first paragraph that's not indented, Ulefikach, the Maharal explains that this is the reason for the, maybe we won't get too far into this, but here the Maharal basically breaks down the four, not the fifth, not Dvarim, but the four Sifrei Chumash before Dvarim, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar, and he explains how each one corresponds to another Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not going to go through it just in interest of time, but if you look in the underline, HaSefer HaShlishi, which is Vayikra, Neged VeHaNora. So the Midah of Nora of Hashem, HaKel HaGadol HaGibor VeHaNora. Vayikra corresponds to Nora. Noraus is like an awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says Vayikra is expressive of the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because again, it's this point. Shehu Yisbarech Echad BeOlamo. He's the only thing that exists. Lekach Mimenu HaYira. There's nothing else to fear. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. Ki Hu Echad. Umi Mocha Biyado. No one can fight him. No one can go against him. Ki Efes Zulaso. There's nothing else that exists. So says the Maharal that the third Sefer, which is Sefer Vayikra, is Nora, is the Noraus, the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because again, it represents this fact that existence is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no way to combat him, no way to fight him. He's the only thing that exists, and we have to submit to that through offering Karbanos. in the last paragraph here that we're quoting from Perek Samach Tes of Gurus Hashem, the Maharal says that's also why it's possible. You know, we have Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do I know you're not going to do another Mabel? How do I know you're not going to destroy the Jewish people? So Hashem says that, don't worry, I'm going to give you karbanos to your Jewish people. So so Avraham Avinu says, but we're not always going to have a base in Mikdash. So he says, yeah, but they'll learn the Torah of the karbanos throughout history, even when there's no base in Mikdash to offer the karbanos. So the Maharal explains, like this, you don't understand that. Karbanos are one thing and learning Torah is another thing. But if the whole idea of karbanos is returning, coming close to Hashem, chet, sinning, means you're far from Hashem. Karbanos means returning to Hashem, kurva, coming close to Hashem, because you're offering yourself to Hashem, and you're showing nothing else exists, and you're coming back into Him. So then you could do that through a karban, or you could do that just as well through learning Torah, especially the Torah of a karban. He expounds on this in other places, including the Drash Lashapsa Gadol, and other places as well, the Rabbi Hartman's Mitzayin in them. But basically, the Torah of karbanos is the same thing. It's the same thing. It's bringing our seichel, our intellect, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through learning Torah. The same way we do that through bringing karbanos, we can do that throughout history by learning Torah. This is all in terms of the after effect. After a person sins, they're far away. They have to return themselves to Hashem through karbanos. But just one note before we move to source number two. If you look in the Chiddush HaGadlus of the Maharal on Masechah Sota, the Gemara there in Masechah Sota says that a person doesn't sin. A person can only do averos if nichnas bo ruach shtus. That a person only does averos, that's where the word sota comes from. If a person only does averos, if some ridiculous, silly nature, you know, spills into him, normally a person would never do an avera. But only if they have some shtus in their head, they have some insanity in their head, will they do an avera. So what's that Gemara means? The Maharal says, very interesting. It's the same idea we're talking about until now, but not only in terms of after the chet, but actually preventative of the chet. He says, it's impossible for a person to do an avera. You know why? Because the person has a seichel, they have a brain, and the brain tells you, the heart tells you, don't do averos. It doesn't make any sense to do averos. Through our seichel, we are davik b'Hashem. Through our seichel, we are close to Hashem. A person in order, we said before, if a person sins, they're far from Hashem. It's also true that in order for a person to sin, they have to feel far from Hashem. If you're right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not going to do averos. And a person's always right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they feel that through their seichel. Only if nichnas bo ruach shtus. Only if their seichel gets mixed up, only if insanity creeps in into their heads and their minds and makes them all thrown off, only then hashtos hu mavdil so min Hashem Yisbarach. That shtos separates you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because usually you're connected through your seichel, but now your seichel is thrown off, now you could do an avera. So what we said about post-avera, after a person does an avera, they're farther from Hashem. It's also true pre-avera, that as long as we cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we won't do averos. Says the Gemara, the only way you'll do averos is if you feel far from Hashem. If a shtus comes in and separates your seichel, your mind, your intellect from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you could, Rachman al-Tzlan, do an avera. But otherwise, avera is not shayach. It's not relevant to you. It's not possible you do an avera. Same idea that, again, karbanos is the return from that mistake. The mistake was the shtus, which separated us from Hashem, and the chet separates us more. And the return is through the karban and saying, nothing else exists. I don't believe in any other existence. Everything belongs to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything exists through you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I connect to that existence. And therefore, the karban reminds me of that message that keeps me away from averos and also helps me do tshuva from the previous averos. Okay, that's the idea of karbanos, according to the Maharal, as explained at length here in Gurus Hashem and elsewhere in many other svarim. Briefly, let's just do source number two, because it's very fascinating, I think. The psukim tell us about all different types of karbanos in Parshas Vayikra. In particular, here in Pasuk Dalid, the psukim tell us about the karban ola. Now, the karban ola is unique in that the chatas and the asham and the shlamim, they're all parts of them are burnt, but parts of them are consumed. The karban ola is kula la Hashem. It's kalil. It's totally goes up in smoke. It's totally burnt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in this context, the Rashi says, Amahu Maratzalo, V'nirtzalo, the Pasuk says that there's some sort of ritzui, some sort of atonement that comes from the Ola. So Rashi says, "What from Chazal, what's the atonement for? Meaning, what Avera does the Ola atone for? Im Tomal Krisos Umisos based in, O Misa B'dei Shemayim Malkos, maybe it's for Chayvei Krisos, or Chayvei Misos based in, or Chayvei Malkos, Hare Onshan Amar. We already know what the punishment is for those Karis and Misa and Malkos. So what are you talking about? What's the Ola do? Ha Einom Ratza El Al Esei V'Al Lav Shenitik L'Esei. So we know Chazal and the Medrash also tell us that not only Lav Shenitik L'Esei and Esei, but also any Chet Machshava. Anytime a person has improper thoughts, the Karban of Ola is a Kapara, is an atonement for improper thoughts. So the fact that you missed an opportunity to do a positive commandment, and the fact that you violated a negative commandment that has no punishment because it's nitik la'esei, because there's a fix for it in the Chumash. So therefore, or because you had bad improper thoughts, therefore you need an Ola to atone for those things. So here, the Maharal quotes from the Ramban. The Ramban is very bothered that all karbanos come to atone for what types of averos? Shogeg, accidental averos. These averos that Rashi is listing here, violating a positive commandment, violating a negative commandment that's nitik la'esei, having improper thoughts, which he doesn't list, but the same idea, those are all not bishogi, they're not accidental. So what does that have to do with karbanos? So the Ramban talks about this. The Ramban gives an answer, the Maharal talks about the answer, knocks it off, gives a different answer. What the Maharal settles on, which is so gorgeous here, in the underline, he says, ba'od nireh, that you'll notice that the karban ola is kind of unique. On the one hand, the chait of bitl esei, of not doing a positive commandment, is really less intense than doing an avera. Right? It's less chamer. Yeah, there's no action. When you do an avera, it's a merid, it's a rebellion. You smack Kadosh Baruch Hu in the face, kibiyachal. You don't do a mitzvah, so you missed an opportunity to grow, but you didn't do anything in actively. Correct. Now, the Maharal says, on the other hand, the karban ola is much more chamer. Is a much more serious and intense karban. Why? It's kula la'ashem. It's totally kadosh. No one can even partake of it at all. So why do you need the most chamer karban for the least chamer avera? Isn't that strange? So the Maharal says, it is less chamer in one way, but in another way, it's much more chamer. Look at the underline. Ki baro l'chazal, ki ha'ola techaper dafka al amezid. The ola had to be a karban which comes for averas which were done intentionally. Ki asher chata b'mezid, hu chote keshu b'daito v'sichlo, shu kulo kodesh la'ashem. Says the Maharal, when a person does an avera, it is very, very bad. When they do it b'shogeg, it wasn't with their mind. It was a little bit haphazard. It was a little bit unintentional, so to speak. They forgot it was Shabbos. They forgot this melacha was aser. Shogeg is a bad action because you violated something actively, but it less involving your mind. And we know your mind is kodesh la'ashem. Your seichel, your intellect, your ruach, that's the holiest of holies in a person. So when a person does an aveir b'shogeg, it's a little bit less chamer. Then when a person does it b'mezid intentionally, that means they're using their seichel to do the aveira. They're using their mind, the kodesh ha'kodashim, to do the aveira. That's a chamer thing. Says the Torah, you need a karban ola for that. It's true, the chait might have been less chamer, the chait might have been less severe, but the way you did it, using your seichel, using your intellect, doing it intentionally, that's the most chamer way you could possibly do an aveira. So you need a more chamer karban.
Intentionally.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. That intention is so severe and so intense that we need the karban ola, which is kula la'ashem, to be mechaper, to atone for that. You have to look in the Jerush L'Shabbos HaGadol, beautiful, the Maharal has a little bit of a longer explanation over there of the same idea, but Rabbi Hartman notes in the footnote that the Maharal tells us that, the person's body is compared to a mikdash, it's a mikdash me'at, b'shachanti b'socham. So the mind, the brain, the machshava, that's the kodesh ha'kodashim, that's the holiest of places. And because of that, it's the highest level of sin to do an avera in the heart, in the mind, in the seichel. We'll end with this. The Nefesh HaChaim has such a similar idea. He also says this concept of the mikdash me'at and the person's mind and heart being the place of the kodesh hakodashim. But in two places, when you put them together, you come up with the same idea of the Maharal. He says in one place in Shar Aleph, Perak Yedalid, the 14th Perak in the first Shar, he says that when a person, two people could do the same avera, and yet one person could deserve more of a punishment than another. Because when one person does an avera, he might not be thinking about it so much, and the other person might be thinking about it more. And basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks into the Hayotzer Yachad Libam, he looks into the heart of a person, Umeven Koma Aseim. Through looking into the heart, he recognizes their action, meaning the severity of our action is determined by what our intention is when we're doing that action. And in that context, he quotes the Gemara in Masechus Yoma, which is so hard to understand, which says, Hirhure Avera Kashin Me Avera, that worse even than doing an action of avera is thinking about averos. What do you mean? Doing an action is much worse.
If it leads to an
avera. But the Gemara doesn't say that. I mean, that is one possibility. The Gemara doesn't say that. So even worse than doing an avera is thinking about an avera, having hirurim about an avera. What do you mean? The action is obviously worse. No, but on one level, the thought itself is worse because that's the kodesh hakodashim in your brain. Your mind, your heart, thinking about an avera is even worse than doing an avera itself on this level that we're referring to. This goes back to something he said in the fourth parak, in Shar Aleph, the Nefesh HaChaim, where he basically says that when a person has a machshava asher lo tahora, when he has an improper thought, he says it's ki'ilu, he was machnis azona lekodesh hakadashim. It's ki'ilu, he brought a prostitute into the holiest of holies, the worst possible thing a person could imagine. What do you mean? He didn't do an avera, but that's the point. That the mind, the seichel, is so kodesh, la'ashem, it's so sanctified, it's so holy and so lofty, that when a person brings an avera into there, even if they don't act on it, the avera in the mind, in that level, is even more kasha, is even more bad, is even more severe than an action of an avera. That's what the Maharal is telling us here as well, that we need a karban ola, which is the most intense of a karbanos, because it's kulo la'ashem, it's totally burnt, because we need to atone for an avera which takes place in the mind, either because it's improper thoughts, or because you were mevatel mitzvah esei intentionally, or because you broke a lav intentionally, which doesn't get malkos. In all of those cases, you used your seichel to do the avera, you need a more serious karban to atone for it. Okay, we should try not to do averos. If we do, we should try to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realize that everything's from Him. We exist through Him, and we should do a real tshuva. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.